The Bible doesn't have an answer for every question we'll ever have about God. However, Skip Heitzig says that what it does have is more than enough.
Let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible doesn't contain everything you'd like to know about God. It tells you everything you need to know about God. It leaves many questions unanswered. It does. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but that which is revealed belongs to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this law." And even John, at the end of his gospel, said many other things Jesus did which are not recorded in this book. In fact, we believe that of the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus, only 50 days are actually recorded. So what's that? 0.046, right around there, of Jesus' ministry is recorded. The Bible doesn't tell us everything exhaustively, but it tells us enough truth about God for us to trust in Him.
Make the connection.
At the end of the movie, The Book of Eli, a copy of the Bible is placed on a shelf along with other important religious texts such as the Quran. In the post-apocalyptic setting of the film, the Bible was seen as a valued piece of human history and culture that needed to be protected, along with a heritage of other great literary works. But is that all the Bible is? A great piece of literature that's a key part of the heritage of humanity? We'll explore what makes the Bible unique today here on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But before we do, we wanted to share this letter from Belize, and it's from Blaze.
To the folks at The Connection, on a daily basis at 6 p.m. here in the beautiful country of Belize, The Connection airs. I've been listening to the show since it began airing back in October, and The Connection has showed me the path to a better life, and is helping to keep me on that path. In many ways, it has reinforced the values of life that I was taught as a child. I just want to thank you, Skip, and The Connection for bringing the word of Christ back in my life in a way I never felt before. Sincerely, Blaze.
Well, Blaze, it's great to hear from you down in Belize, and thank you for writing us today. We'd like to send you the Deep and Wide Teaching Collection from Pastor Skip, just for taking time to get in touch with us. And we'd love to hear from you sometime as well. It's always a delight to get letters from our listeners. It means more than you'll ever know to our whole team to hear how this ministry is making a difference in your life. So if you get a chance, send us a letter at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And who knows, perhaps your story is one that we'll get a chance to share right here on the program. You know, the Bible can have a tremendous impact on our lives, and that's because it's more than just another important piece of great literature. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
We'll continue today in 2 Timothy chapter 3, so if you'll turn there in your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig for today's study.
The third question they would ask is this document dynamic? Does it have life-changing power in what it says? Does it edify? Does it have correct doctrine? Is it dynamic? And fourth, is it already accepted? Has the churches taken this in? Have they circulated them, read them, quoted from them? Have the early church fathers quoted from them? For instance, the New Testament quotes hundreds of passages out of the Old Testament. Paul quotes Luke. Peter quotes Paul. They all quote Christ, etc. Now, I want to just kind of visit one issue before we move on, and that is, what about that Apocrypha thing, Skip? You mentioned those 14 books that are in some Bibles, Christian Bibles, and aren't in others. What about that? Well, The Apocrypha were 14 books, Jewish books, written between B.C. 300 and B.C. 100. If in your Bible, in the back of your Old Testament, these books appear, 1st and 2nd Esdras, Tobit, Judith, the Wisdom of Solomon, Baruch, the Song of the Three Holy Children, the History of Susanna, the Story of Bel and the Dragon, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, that's the Apocrypha. Now, why is it that it's not in my Bible, but it's in Catholic Bibles? That's because in the year 1500, or in the 1500s, there was a Council of Trent. The Catholic Church decided that they were now Scripture. They had never been considered Scripture up till that point, but now they decreed this is official Scripture. Why don't we accept it? Well, I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. I can tell you why I don't accept it. I don't accept those books as biblical. Number one, the Jews, whose writings they are, rejected them as biblical books before Christ ever came to the earth. Number two, Jesus never quoted once from them, neither did the apostles, though they quote from other parts of the Old Testament. Number three, the books of the Apocrypha themselves don't claim to be inspired by God. And number four, they're chock full of inaccuracies. All sorts of problems exist with the text. So, no, the Holy Spirit didn't hand down a list from heaven, say, here's my top 66. Put those in the leather. Rather, the Holy Spirit used a process of history that I believe He superintended. So, if you know anything about the Bible at all and what it possesses in terms of predictability, etc., we know enough to say that what we are holding today is indeed the very Word of God that is inspired by God. And okay, there's things you don't understand, but there's enough that should wow you and make you understand that, so what, you don't understand this part. You can have confidence in the rest of it. Let me give you an example. This last week, I had to fly to Puerto Rico and back very quickly. I got on an airplane, and I got on the airplane by faith. I did. It was all an act of faith. I didn't check to see if they filled up the fuel tanks. They assured me they did, but I didn't watch it. I didn't check the pilot to see if he had a license to fly. How do I know you can fly? Show me your license. I didn't do that. I didn't check the credentials of the flight crew, but I got on the airplane by faith because, though airplanes do crash sometimes, the safest mode of transportation in existence is still by airplane. And the airline industry has a reasonable history of getting people from point A to point B, their destination. My faith was further bolstered when, as I was getting through the line at American Airlines, they told me about somebody they had just apprehended who was trying to get on my airplane, carrying 19 baggies of mosquitoes as carry-on. Now, this fella said, and he may have been true, but they had to stop him. They said, well, I'm studying the West Nile virus. Oh, great. What I want on an airplane is mosquitoes flying around. And they said, you can't do that. And they kept him off. So I thought, good reason then to put my confidence here. They have a good track record, a good history. Let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible doesn't contain everything you'd like to know about God. It tells you everything you need to know about God. It leaves many questions unanswered. It does. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but that which is revealed belongs to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this law. And even John, at the end of his gospel, said many other things Jesus did which are not recorded in this book. In fact, we believe that of the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus, only 50 days are actually recorded. So what's that? 0.046, right around there, of Jesus' ministry is recorded. The Bible doesn't tell us everything exhaustively, but it tells us enough truth about God for us to trust in Him. I hear people all the time get bogged down. I can't understand the Trinity. Well, join the crowd. I can't understand the Trinity. I believe it. I can't understand the dual nature of Christ. Join the crowd. But you know what Mark Twain said? He said, it's not the parts of the Bible I can't understand that bother me. It's all the parts that I can understand that bother me. All scripture, all this writing is inspired by God. Now, I contend that if God loved us enough to communicate to us in a book we can read and understand, and if people bled and died to preserve this and circulate this, the least we can do is read it, study it, apply it. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. I like that. That doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to take my Bible, I'm going to really make it look beat up, because I'll appear more spiritual. But this is the writing, the graph of God. Now, how does he do that? By inspiration. Notice it says, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. How many of you have an NIV this morning? Raise your hands. Don't worry, I'm not going to pick on you. You have a better translation of this verse than I do. Because your version says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's very literal. It's pasa graphe theanoustos. All scripture is God-breathed. Theanoustos comes from two words you already know. Theos, which means God. Theology, atheist, monotheism has that word theos in it. Anthony, Theodore, Dorothy, these are all names that include theos. The second word is pneuma. Pneumatic, pneumonia, means breath or air. So all scripture is a result of God's breathing his will through human beings. Well, what does that mean exactly? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. When we say all scripture is inspired, we're not referring to natural inspiration. You know what I mean by that? When you see a beautiful painting like a Picasso, and you go, oh, he was so inspired. What an inspiring musical that was. Some people lower the Bible to the level of a Picasso as an inspiring work of art written by a bunch of smart men. Listen, smart men don't write a book that condemns them and points to the only way of salvation outside of humanity. They don't do that. Number two, it doesn't refer to concept inspiration. Some people say that what inspiration means is that God didn't really give the writers the words, he gave them the concepts. So, for instance, Paul, God inspired him with the concept of love. And so he sat down, inspired by that, and wrote 1 Corinthians 13. All you need is love. Well, that was John Lennon. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not... You know the text. Well, that's not what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So that's why the Bible says concerning Jeremiah, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Not, I'm going to inspire you with some thoughts, some impressions in your mind, but actual words. And the argument is closed if we just look at what Jesus himself said. If we say we love Jesus and we follow him, well, listen to what he said about the Bible. He said, not one jot, not one tittle will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. You know that a jot is the Hebrew yod. It's the smallest letter of their alphabet. It's like an apostrophe. A tittle is even smaller. It's an exclamation mark or a pronunciation mark that distinguishes letters from other letters. None of those will pass away till all is fulfilled. In fact, one day Jesus had a confrontation with religious leaders called the Sadducees, and he based his entire argument to them on the verb tense of a single word. Matthew 25, here's the story. Sadducees who don't believe in a resurrection come to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, The law says that if a man who is married to a woman, if that man dies and doesn't have children with this woman, that his brother has to marry her and raise up children. Well, Jesus, we know this family where there's seven guys, seven brothers. And one guy married a gal and he died. And so his second brother, second guy, married the woman and he died. And the third married the woman and he died. And the fourth married the woman and he died. And the fifth married the woman, Now, after a while, you're going to think, what is she putting in the eggs? They're all dying. But it was a hypothetical case. And they said, so in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in, whose wife will she be? I love Jesus' response. He said, you're ignorant. You are ignorant, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Have you never read what the law says, where God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Did you get the tense? God said, I am the God, not I was the God. And that was said hundreds of years after the patriarchs had died. God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, not I was. Therefore, Jesus said, he is the God, not of the dead, but of the living. He staked his whole argument on a verb tense. Now, that is why when we go through the scriptures, we bother to look at language and wording and context, because there is so much profound truth in studying the very words of scripture. They matter. It's inspired by God. I'd like to give you another example of how this makes a difference. There was a woman who traveled overseas by ship years ago, very wealthy, and she found a bracelet she wanted to buy. It cost $75,000. Well, she didn't have a cell phone in those days. There were no computers, no faxes, so she had to wire her husband. I found the most beautiful bracelet. It's only 75 thou. May I buy it? He promptly responded, no, comma, price too high, exclamation point. In other words, forget it, baby. Well, the wire operator left out the comma, changing the entire meaning of the message. Instead of no, pause, comma, price too high, explaining it, it simply said no price too high. She thought, oh, what a wonderful hubby I have. And that little comma cost him $75,000. So the Bible is the inspired word of God, and theologians call this the verbal plenary inspiration of the scripture, meaning the words themselves are inspired by God, and the inspiration extends to all the words of the scripture. Nor is this mechanical inspiration. You know, some people think that we believe when we say the Bible's inspired that God was dictating up in heaven. Sit down, Paul, write this. Galatians. I, Paul. Now, God could have done that if he wanted to. But rather, he used the personalities and the writing styles of the authors themselves. We know that Luke had a different style than did Paul, etc. How did God do this? One final scripture and we close with this. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and we close with this. This is how it works. Verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see that little phrase, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit? It's a word, pherominoi. It's a maritime, a boating term that speaks of a ship being carried at the mercy of the winds, carried along by the winds. So that these authors, the prophets, the apostles, raised their sails, so to speak. They were themselves flawed men. But the Holy Spirit drove that boat to the destination he wanted. So they had their own personality, their own writing style. Within the boat, you have all the freedom you want to move around anywhere you want, anytime you want. But the destination is determined by the wind as the destination of the Scripture, were the very words God wanted to say, even though the personalities were individual. It was carried along to the destination determined by God. Okay, if that's so, if that's true, if every word in this book is indeed inspired by God, every word of it, why don't we read it? Why is it so tough? Oh, we'll affirm, oh yes, I believe the Bible. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. Okay, cool. Read the thing. Find out what God has to say. Oh, but it takes so long to read that book. You know what? It'll take you 12 minutes a day. 365 days, you'll have finished it. We believe, we know, it's been done, that if you read the Bible at what we call pulpit speed, which is sort of like this, pronouncing every word as we go, it'll take you 72 hours, 52 in the old, 20 in the new. That's 12 minutes a day, 365 days a year. You can handle it. Do we want to? Is there anything else competing for our time? I'm not here to lay a heavy hand on you and say never watch television or never read anything else or never have fun in other ways, because you know we don't believe in that. But let's have a little perspective here, shall we? On the table side by side, a Holy Bible and the TV Guide. One is well worn, but cherished with pride. Not the Bible, but the TV Guide. One is used daily to help folks decide. No, it isn't the Bible, it's the TV Guide. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, it doesn't matter. Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, it's not the Bible. It's the TV Guide. The Word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse before they fall into bed. Exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, but watching TV. So then back to the table, side by side, is the Holy Bible and the TV Guide. No time for prayer, no time for the Word. The plan for salvation is seldom heard, but forgiveness of sins, so full and so free, is found in the Bible, not on TV. The stuff that really will count is found in the graph that God has written, the Bible. So, I'm just here to say this. If we're really saying God wrote the Bible, if we really believe that, let's not kid ourselves. If we really believe that, won't it become important to us?
Is the Bible just another book to you, or is it the book that was given to you by God? You know, how we treat the Bible and the importance it has in our life will give us an idea of exactly where our relationship with God actually is. As we take some time to think that over, if you're looking for a summer Bible study, we have one that will help you learn to live faithfully, no matter what season you're going through. Here's more.
When you go to the pool or beach during the summer, it doesn't do much good to inflate that inner tube if you aren't going to get into the water. It also doesn't make much sense to go to church each week and learn about having faith in God if you aren't going to put that faith to work in your daily life. Live Faithfully is a study through the book of James that teaches the practical applications of the Christian faith. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose explore how James encourages us to put what we learn in church to practical use every day. Get a copy of the Bible study, Live Faithfully, for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And when you order, we'll also send you Lenya's teaching, Mature Faith, on CD. Learn how practical faith can be. Get the Live Faithfully study and the Mature Faith CD for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And you can also get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching. It's available for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus teaching from Skip called Why You Should Believe. So give us a call today, and if it's your first time to do so, we'll send you that free teaching from Skip. Just call 1-800-922-1888.
972-1888. Or you can write us, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
This issue of whether or not we can really trust the Bible is such an important one that we'll continue to explore it in our next study, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.